threat to us all and to the biosphere on which we depend to support the web of life. I'll stitch these stories together to form a coherent picture of what's unfolding and why, and what each of us can do to help alter the human race's current course of genocide and ecocide. Join me on the show every Saturday at 2 p.m. for a crystal clear look at the ominous horizon that lies before us.
It's the B-R-O-N-X. You know what's next.
It's a bowl of soul. And get your dose of classic soul and independent R&B music from the United States and abroad on Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. A Bowl of Soul is a music experience you won't forget or regret. Check out A Bowl of Soul on the Progressive Radio Network.
From New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Today, we're going to talk about how, by changing bacteria from bad to good, we can make enormous difference in our health. There's so many good articles that are showing that what we consume in food and beverages directly impacts our well-being. So I'm going to spend a little extra time on that. We have a lot on health and healing, as we do every day. Then we're going to go to some audio clips. By the way, you actually can watch these later in the day on Facebook, because all of our programs are posted on Facebook. We're going to talk with Wim Benny. He was one of the founders of the National Security Agency's program on surveillance. In effect, he was the architect. He was the one who created it and showed them how it should be done. But then he started seeing how it was being used, and not just for tracking terrorists, but spying in bulk on all Americans, and it was all illegal. So he talked about this and became a whistleblower. He is now going to show you how pervasive this intelligence gathering on we the people are. We played part one a week ago. We're going to play part two today. It's about a five-part series. Also today, we're going to talk about how reporters are frequently censored, or they'll censor themselves if in any way what they're writing about could adversely affect the income stream or the politics of a particular news agency. Abby Martin and Amber Lynn, formerly of CNN. We'll talk about that. Then I'll open it up for calls on a particular issue that I think is important, and we'll be also taking your emails through Elizabeth, who, if you ever have anything you'd like to ask or share with us, please go to prnstudio@gmail.com. And something new before we start, thanks to Audio Now, the Progressive Radio Network now has an app. All you have to do is go to the App Store on your cell phone and search the Progressive Radio Network. On this app, you can listen live to PRN shows 24/7. You can even go back and archive any past show. So go to your App Store and download it now. Many are. In fact, we estimate 700 people have downloaded the app in the last week and a half since I've been announcing it. And now let's go to the latest on health and healing. This is from Imperial College London. Changes to the communities, because it's really a community. They coexist, they cooperate, they communicate, bacteria in our intestines. And they're living in the reproductive tract of pregnant women, and they could help to spot those at risk of giving birth prematurely. A study of hundreds of women carried out at Imperial College found that subtle changes to the bacteria present in the vagina were strongly associated with a woman's waters breaking early and premature in birth, the baby being born before 37 weeks. And according to researchers, the findings show that a shift away from the usual healthy balance of vaginal bacteria was associated with waters breaking early and could have an impact on the health of mother and baby, including the increasing risk of sepsis for the newborn. And it was published in the British Medical Journal of Medicine. So in lay language, this means that when you're pregnant, if you go towards probiotic and prebiotic foods like beet juice, very good. Sauerkraut, outstanding. Miso, top of the line. And you can get low-sodium miso. And all these other probiotics that you can purchase and take, it creates good bacteria throughout your whole body. But in women who are pregnant, also in the vagina, and that can help prevent preterm. And that's important. Also today, broccoli sprouts, easy to get, easy to make. You can sprout them in about 6 days yourself, right in your home on your kitchen table. They have nutrients that reduce the risk of type 2 diabetes and lower your blood sugar. This is from Lund University, that's in Sweden. And a Swedish medical team says they have found a natural way to lower blood sugar and battle type 2 diabetes. And it's right in your refrigerator, broccoli. That's according to the researchers. Broccoli sprouts could be a viable treatment option against this chronic disease. That's simple. That's inexpensive. That's easy. That's non-invasive. And it's extremely promising. And why? Because the chemical called sulforaphane, S-U-L-F-O-R-A-P-H-A-N-E, and this broccoli compound has found its way into working down your blood sugar. So diabetes, prediabetes, that's 100 million Americans. Definitely start eating your broccoli sprouts. And cruciferous vegetables overall lower your blood sugar naturally without negative side effects. So when you have a salad and you put in some radishes and arugula and watercress, kale, cauliflower. Now, how you do cauliflower, broccoli, also Brussels sprouts and asparagus, is you steam them. Not long. You don't want them to get soft. Just about 5 minutes of steaming. Then you blanch them. You run cold water on them. Now you can use them over a week and put them in your salads or stir fries. And they are terrific because they all contain sulforaphane. They also contain indole-3-carbinol, and the isothiocyanates, all these natural sulfur chemicals. Why is garlic so good for you? Sulfur. Onions, sulfur. So that is really terrific. So that's a way to helping diabetics. A study from the Medical University of Vienna in Austria talks about the gastric environment. Once again, bacteria permanently changing in the presence of Helicobacter pylori infection. Let me explain this way. If you look inside your body, the makeup of the human gut bacteria is highly individual and extremely diverse. However, when a Helica, that's H-E-L-I-C-O-Bacter, B-A-C-T-E-R, pylori, P-H-Y-L-O-R-E, infection is present, this bacterium displaces all other bacterium. It's a grim reaper. It's a tsunami of bad. It will really devastate your entire gastrointestinal tract, the good bacteria, leaving only Helicobacter bacteria in the stomach. And that can proceed to stomach cancer. And this was demonstrated in a recently published study conducted by a research team led by an infectiologist at the Vienna Division of Infectious Disease and Tropical Medicine. So they're simply showing the phenomena. Here's the solution, because it's not that difficult to kill off Helicobacter pylori. Cabbage juice, raw organic cabbage juice, 3 glasses a day. Quercetin, and a little concoction, a tincture that you can make yourself. You can put it all in a blender and smooth it up, and because it's not going to be that tasty. So you can use black cumin seed oil, oregano, wild oregano oil, olive leaf extract, bee propolis, echinacea, Paudarco, P-A-U-D-A-R-C-O, vitamin C, quercetin, and cloidal silver. You put all that into a blender with some liquid, blend it up, and take that throughout the day, generally about maybe 3 ounces, all Manuka honey in there as well. That will kill Helicobacter. And then put probiotics in, because then you recolonize your gut in a good way. That's important. Women taking probiotics during pregnancy might have lower preeclampsia, and that's good too. This is from a university hospital in Sweden, published in the British Medical Journal Open. Once again, we're talking about probiotics. The probiotics taking during pregnancy can help lower the risk of preeclampsia, as well as premature birth. By the way, if you're not aware of this, preeclampsia is a condition in which the mother's body mounts an exaggerated inflammatory response, and it affects almost 8% of all pregnancies, and that can lead to disability among the children and affecting a lot of them for the rest of their life. And there's an enormous body of evidence showing that the women's diets influences the outcome of pregnancy. Healthy diet, healthy pregnancy. They studied 70,000 pregnancies from the Norwegian Mother and Child Cohort Study to get the data. So, you want to have a healthier child? Then take your probiotics every day. Also, this is from Harvard School of Public Health, and it's something I've been talking about for a long time, and I'm sure many of you are aware of it, and that is being around natural greenery can cheer you up. And the younger you are, the more cheerful you become. Yeah, exposure to trees and other greenery has been shown to stave off depression in adults. And in a new study, finds the same may be true for teenagers. They looked at 9,000 kids, 12 to 18, and found those that lived in areas with lots of natural vegetation nearby were less likely to display high levels of depressive symptoms. And the effects were strongest among middle schoolers, and this was published in the Journal of Adolescent Health. So we should get our kids outside. They should be playing in recess. It's very important to have recess. It's also important, if you can, if you have the means, take your kids to... We're heard worldwide, not just in New York. So take your kids to parks, public parks. Let them play. Let them just appreciate nature. One of the projects I intend to do, in fact, I'm working on it as we speak, is to purchase a property upstate New York, not far from the city, maybe a couple hours, and have it both as an animal sanctuary where I can bring in veterans suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder and give them a place to live for free and give them some work, because what we have found of being around animals calms them down and helps them begin to trust again. The animal, the spirit of that sentient being, it relates to the vet. In fact, there's a wonderful mini documentary up on the YouTube I watched, where I'm not sure that I saw the location. I'm guessing it's out west, maybe in Colorado someplace. And it's a wolf preserve. And in this center where they have all these wolves, the vets go in there and they bond with the wolf. Will select the person and they become best friends. Who would have thought, right? And the vets then told their story about how they seem to communicate with the wolf nonverbally. And the wolf actually looks forward to them coming. So each wolf, when people come on a regular basis, that wolf will run over to the person as he comes in. These are also sanctuary wolves. From our environmental segment today, California faces a cascade of catastrophes as sea levels rise. Who's saying that? Some nut job? Someone who just wants to scare us? No, this is the Los Angeles Times. So let's be clear. This is orthodoxy. Quote, As the beaches recede, California will lose a crucial economic driver. The state's last major free recreational area will vanish, along with our defenses against coastal storms. Our regional identity will shift as we're forced to turn inland. The inundation gets worse. A state-commissioned report by Oakland's Pacific Institute found that in even a medium and medium-high emission scenario, we're way beyond that, by the way, we're way beyond it. Nearly a half million Californians, predominantly minorities and the poor, will be vulnerable to flooding. And it goes on from there. How bad will it be? Quote, and threatened infrastructure includes the nation's two busiest ports, Los Angeles and Long Beach, as well as the Port of Oakland, the San Francisco and Oakland airports, 3,500 miles of roads, 280 miles of railways, 30 power plants, 28 waste treatment plants, vast wetlands, and perhaps most distressing, 330 U.S. Environmental Protection Agency regulated Superfund and hazardous waste sites. Whoa. We saw in Houston what happens when a toxic dump site is flooded. You can't put it back in the ground. It's everywhere, in the air and in the soil, in your backyard. It can get into the beams of your homes. Now, this is the most toxic brew of chemicals anywhere. And that is going to be spread around. Quote, the only way to stave off the prospect is to clean the sites now. Yeah. Well, good luck trying to do that in California. Also from our environmental segment, from Heather Callahan of Natural Blaze, the first genetically modified rice just approved by the United States FDA. Will the first rice from China, made by genetically engineered organisms, make its way to the American table soon? You bet. Now, here's the problem. They already have genetically engineered salmon, and it's being factory farmed. So it's bad enough to have something that's filled with parasites and diseased, like factory farm fish. Tilapia is the worst. Shrimp is right up there beside it. It's kind of ironic when you hear, oh, you can eat shrimp. Yeah, where do you think that shrimp is grown? Either in Thailand or in China, in the most polluted environments you could ever imagine. It's just nothing but toxic. And so people are chowing down on it, not realizing that's becoming a part of their own DNA, because everything you eat becomes part of your DNA. So now we got to be concerned. That's why you should focus upon organic, non-GMO rice, because this will make its way into the American heartland. It'll get in the restaurant chains, and people will be consuming it. But we don't want people in this audience to consume it. That's the latest on health and healing and environment. We're going to take a brief break and come back. Please stay with us. I'd like to welcome all of you. We have a lot to go, including we're going to open our phones a little later on the program for talkback. Just want to mention something new. It's been a year, so I want to thank all of the people who look forward to taking some of the products I create for being patient. I tried several manufacturers. They just couldn't do the formula. I want to replace the Supreme Health Formula and the AMMPM. These are multiple vitamins. And I did. Finally, I found someone who would make them at my standards, my quality. And as of today, literally today, they're arriving in our warehouse ready to ship. Now, before it was $132.99, most comprehensive vitamin mineral ever created. It's better. And guess what I'm going to sell it to you for today? $64.99. You heard me correct. Why? Why is this formula, the Supreme Health Formula Multiple Vitamin? This is all new, by the way, because I've taken the time to put in here what I know. And by the way, I don't know of any other manufacturer in America that has a PhD in human nutrition and public health science with a background in nutritional biochemistry and research, a research fellow who prepares formulas. Most of them copy mine, believe it or not. I've actually had them tell me that when I was at conferences. Oh, yeah, you know, we look at your AMPM and we look at your green stuff. They know how to market. I don't do the marketing. They don't know how to formulate. I do the formulation. So this is the most comprehensive, all-inclusive, what I consider perfectly balanced multiple vitamin mineral supplement you can get. What's in it? Well, first understand it's no longer tablets. It's vegetarian capsules. Used to be 10 big horse tablets. This is a capsule, 6 vegan capsules per serving. Vitamin A at 10,000 units from palmitate and beta-carotene. Vitamin C, buffered. Vitamin D, 1,000 units. Vitamin E, natural, 200 units. B1, B2, B6, 25 milligrams. B12, 500 micrograms. Calcium from citrate, magnesium from citrate, 500 milligrams each. Manganese, sulfate, perfect, 10 milligrams. Chromium, and then molybdenum, selenium, pantothenic acid, folic acid, 800 micrograms. Folic acid, biotin, and paraminobenzoic acid, vitamin K, also iron, vegan iron, zinc, boron, iodine from potassium, copper, potassium, but then the superstars, coenzyme Q10, quercetin, pycnogenol. By the way, I'm giving you 20 milligrams of pycnogenol. Ginkgo biloba, 100 milligrams. Green tea, 100 milligrams. Glutathione, phosphatidylserine, lutein, citrus bioflavonoids, N-acetylcysteine, choline, inositol, bromelain, melatonin, N-acetyl L-carnitine. Yep. This is all vegan. So, and here's what's neat. I sent this to a person. I said, you go to the health food store and you tell me what would a month's supply of each of these ingredients I just mentioned at the amount I'm doing, a 30-day supply, and the amount was about $485. So, reality check. You're paying $64 instead of $485. That's over $400 savings if to get the exact same amount in if you got each thing separately. So the synergy is phenomenal. It's vegan. Vegetarian capsules, and it goes immediately into your blood. After all, this is digested quickly. If you doubt me, put a vegan capsule in your mouth, see how long it before the saliva dissolves the seaweed capsule. So higher assimilation, tremendous savings on price. Normally $132, $64.99 at this moment, today. And it's back in stock. We've been out of it for a year. So also, just back in soft this week, I was told to tell you, rock hard. Why? Because some of the ingredients we couldn't get, and I wasn't going to make it without them, so I just held off. It's kosher. It yohimbe and oat straw and salt palmetto and epimedium and ginkgo and ginger, eleuthera, muria, a lycium berry, ashwagandha, velvet bean, anise, cardamom, cinnamon, all in vegetarian glycerin in deionized water. So rock hard is back today on special. Now, if you're not aware, here's how you order these things. I'm going to give you a number here. You can call this number, 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. So I'm glad to finally, after a year and thousands of emails and Diane and Bill and Sandy and Giovanni saying, Mila, people want to know when they're going to get their multivitamin back. Well, when it's the best in the world that I can make it, and I got to get someone who can manufacture by my standards. So we have it. Came in today. Nice to have you with us, everyone. I'm Gary Knoll. We're now going to listen to an audio clip that I think is important. Why? Let's put this in perspective. I have said that America is in the middle and has been for some time of a coup d'etat. The problem is it's not a group of generals who have taken over the United States. We have smooth-talking, very charismatic, very charming, very likable politicians, by and large, like Obama, Bill Clinton. You know, they ooze that believability. What we don't pay attention to is what they do. Obama gets the Nobel Peace Prize and then invades 7 countries and commits to a massive bombing campaign and drone campaign that's killed over 10,000 civilians. Nobody asked back for the Nobel Peace Prize, but then again, we gave Yasser Arafat and Henry Kissinger Nobel Peace Prizes. So much for the integrity of that. Right now, something good is happening. At the same time, something bad is happening. The bad is that we had a presidential election where we were asked to vote, if you were the average person, the lesser of two evils. And we're talking about evil on a scale that we would never want these people in our lives or do business with them or trust them. So we voted for what we thought was the lesser of two evils. Only because people were frustrated because everyone else wouldn't do what they promised. Then there was an attack immediately upon this person's legitimacy. Here's the issue. Here's why it's good news. Because in their absolute fear and loathing of Donald Trump, they overstepped the boundaries that would normally give them plausible deniability and protection. They hit the third rail. They made themselves vulnerable. Now, what was supposed to be the, you know, Trump administration working with the Russians to win the election, not a scintilla of evidence has proven that. But what has come forth is that Hillary Clinton did, in fact, along with Debbie Wasserman Schultz and Donna Brazile and other members of the Democratic National Committee, they rigged the election in the Democratic process. So Bernie Sanders was excluded. Irony of irony, Bernie went along with it. And that's for a different discussion of why didn't he fight? Why didn't he say to his supporters, no, I will not back Hillary Clinton? But he did. Shame on him. Of course, we did have Jill Stein, but the average person was clueless about progressive ideals, so they didn't go for her at all. They went for the charisma. Jill's not charismatic. She's smart. She's ethical. She's everything we don't want in a politician. We want charm. Well, Hillary doesn't have charm, but Bill does. Now, in the process, then it now has come to light that the Clintons received money from different people and organizations and foundations to the Clinton Foundation with big lecture fees, $500,000 for a nothing lecture. And those people, in turn, after giving all that money, got special concessions. Special deals when she was Secretary of State. And then they lied about it. And then there was an investigation by Comey. Now, I just watched last night a clip of Comey stating, under oath, when someone asked him, a legislator asked him in a hearing, did you decide to exonerate her or clear her before or after you interviewed her? And he said, after. He lied. That's perjury. Evidence now has come to light, irrefutable evidence, that he wrote his exoneration letter long before he had even interviewed Cheryl Mills and Ubed Aberdeen and all the people around Hillary Clinton. Then when he did interview them, or the FBI interviewed them, they didn't record it. They gave them immunity, and they did not confiscate all their laptops, hard drives, etc. So by any standard, the fix was in. So now it turns out that There were a lot of people at the top of the Justice Department going clear up to the Attorney General, Robert Lynch, and the head of the FBI and Deputy Director of the FBI. At least 10 people were involved in this cabal. That's your deep state. They showed their hand. That's the good news. Now Congress is not going to let go of this. They're going to go forward with hearings, committees. The memo, the four-page memo, is going to be released. That'll cause additional investigations, probably a brand-new non-political person to do the investigations. So now you're beginning to see what many of us have been fighting against for decades. The people that will smile at you, journalists who will ask you for a story, and then when you tell them the story, you won't ever see that on 60 Minutes or other shows. They'll alter it. They'll deny it. They'll leave stuff out. They're always working for the establishment. I wouldn't trust a single soul with any of these news outlets, not one. I wouldn't trust most of them who work for Pacifica either, or NPR, because they all have agendas. And behind it all, it doesn't matter whether you're Democrat or Republican, they control everything. Now, when I'm doing a special on Hillary Clinton, and people ask why, I want people to know the full context of how committed people are to protecting their own financial interest. You're dealing with at least 2 million employees work in different industries that are directly tied to promoting war and conflict and security in the banking industry and in the pharmaceutical industry, in the agricultural industry, GMOs. All these different interests all backed Hillary for a simple reason. She was predictable that she would go along with anything they wanted. That's the deep state. Trump, they didn't know. They were afraid. He wasn't a certainty. He might have been Peck's bad boy. That's why it's so important you hear what Benny was saying about the deep state, the National Security Agency, and how invasive it is in our lives. Please listen now.
I give the impression that data is intelligence. Right. When you collect more data, you have more intelligence. It's not. The point is you have intelligence when you understand the meaning of what you've collected. If you can't do that, I mean, you have nothing but a bunch of data. And that, unfortunately, that's the perspective they have. So they think collecting more is better. Instead, what happens is it buries their analysts and buries both the police and the intelligence people, and they can't figure anything out. So, you know, what the consequences of planned attacks happen because they don't see them coming and they can't prevent them. And so that's why I said when I went to the UK to try to stir them up, you know, I wanted to get them upset. I said bulk data, because they were getting ready to pass the Investigative Powers Bill, the bulk acquisition of data on everybody in the UK as well as everybody they can possibly get in the world. I said bulk data kills people. And the reason I said that is because of the inability to stop terrorist attacks, for example. I mean, we continue to see these things today. I mean, nothing has changed. They're still going after more data, more people, more of an empire, and they still can't figure out what they've got. But they're really good after the fact. After the fact, once they know who did it, they've got all the data on them. They could go directly at them. The other thing it does give them, though, is the power to manipulate anybody they want or do industrial espionage or if somebody is getting a political group together or getting politically active and they don't want them, they have the ability to target them here using this data. I mean, it's just there. All they have to do is go at it. So they can target people and use it against them, but they can't look at all of it to figure out who out there is planning an attack on us or is going to smuggle weapons or smuggle dope or any of that. They can't do that because they've got too much data. And they're using stupid searches like word searches. Well, you know, if they use the word bomb, you know, if they're looking at somebody planning a bomb or building a bomb, we could say, if you say in an email to anybody, well, you know, the quarterback threw a bomb at the last to win the game, you know, what your email is going to be picked up by that word search, and it's absolutely irrelevant to anything they're looking for. That's the point. That's why social networking of focusing in on those networks that are involved in terrorism or the ones you know with the seeds you have. I would point out that all of the terrorist attacks that have ever happened before or after 9/11 have been by people who were known by either the intelligence or the police or both. So why weren't they focusing on them? If they were, they may have a chance to prevent the attack. Instead, they're looking at this bulk stuff. I mean, it does spend a lot of money. It employs a lot of people. So it's what I call a happiness management program. But the point is that to keep it going, sometimes people have to die. And that's un-American, first of all. You know, no American would do that. No one would sacrifice the lives of anybody for this crap. But they do. And they do it because there's a big empire behind this. I mean, to collect all this data, the intelligence community, mostly NSA, has spent somewhere close to $200 billion since 9/11 just to get the data. I mean, they built an empire worldwide to do it, and they've got all these countries come that are participating in that. So, the closest are, of course, these here. I should point out that you see this date over here, down at the bottom right, 2032-018. That's the 8th day of January of 2032. That means it's the first review, classification review for this slide, 25 years. So if you subtract 25 years from that, it's the 8th of January of 2007, or 2007. That was the date the slide was created. So this was the state of things in 2007. Right? If you look at all these slides, you'll see many times I'll have a date there, and you can figure out, well, this is the date of that program, you know? So, at any rate, this is where they use the things for the SOD. That's the Special Operations Division of the Drug Enforcement Administration, the police. They have also the FBI, CIA, NSA, the DHS, the IRS, all have representatives on the SOD, and they all look into the NSA data. IRS is supposed to be there for fraud, you know, and things like that, but they use the data against the Tea Party and the FBI used against the Occupy group, and other political parties were attacked similarly. And of course, people looking to unmask information about individuals, that's done through these kinds of organizations, you know, or they can request that through directly to NSA. See, the problem is a human failing here, is that the people given the power over others, eventually they use it. You know, that's historically true. It's a weakness in humanity. There's no checks and balances at all involved in this at all. The Congress says and the courts say they have oversight. That's a joke, okay? They don't have any oversight. Even after the Snowden material came out, the head judge, Reggie Walton, on the FISA court, the Foreign Intelligence Relations Court, said, he came out and said, try to make an excuse for his court and the judges on it, that they really didn't have a lot of capability of verifying anything that NSA, CIA, or FBI were telling them. In fact, he doesn't have very little. He has none. He's totally dependent on them telling the truth. And they only tell him what they want to tell him. And the same is true with the intelligence committees in Congress. And the same is true in every country of the world. No country in the world, no government of any country in the world has any control of their intelligence agencies. They do not know what they're doing. And they have no control of any of them. They can't stop it. They would say they go to oversight, but when they go in, all they're told is what the agency wants them to hear. So they get the story du jour, the story of the day, from that agency. That's the problem I see. But so in order to do this, you see, they don't tell any of the attorneys, the judges, or anything. You never sign anything, never put it in affidavits. There's no documentation that they used NSA data or NSA collected data from all their collaborators to do any of this. And so what that means is they have to do a parallel construction. They reconstruct data or go out and get data that they could substitute in a court of law for the NSA data, because then they could use that as a justification for the warrant, which they didn't get in the first place. So that basically means they're perjuring themselves in a court of law. Now, this is not just for us in the United States. Anybody who has any relationship with the FBI or the DEA worldwide, they're all getting insight through these programs. And so whatever actions they take are based on the unconstitutional collection of data by the NSA and the CIA. But they're still using it.
You just hear what he said, the unlawful use. So they're all breaking the law. The FBI, Homeland Security, all these 16 intelligence agencies led by the National Security Agency, we've become a police state. And do you ever hear these people challenging the heads of major corporations like Apple or Facebook? No, they work in cooperation with Facebook and Apple and Google. is one big group of people, and we're not a part of it. But we are the victims of it. Just want to share that with you. We're going to take some of your information now, and then I've got another clip. Sorry, we were being hacked, and my team in New York, I'm out on the road. I want to thank all of our IT people. Every time I talk about the deep state and the Clintons in any way, shape, or form, they try to hack us. 8 out of 8 times in 16 years only when I'm talking about them. Coincidence? Possibly. Possibly not. Just remember, if you vote, if you not just voted, but you gave money and support and you campaigned because you're a major corporation for one person only, Hillary Clinton, you would have only done that if she was going to do something much better for you in return. For Wall Street, she was on their side. Big pharma, big agriculture, big energy, oil, fracking. Yeah. So everything in every one of these industries is wrong with the world, she supported. Just remember that. That's why you're talking about not just one or two people. You're talking about 2 to 3 million people who would be affected. Let's say hello to Elizabeth, who is standing by, and she takes your emails. If you have anything you want to share, please go to prnstudio@gmail.com, and she'll read it. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, Gary. There's two here. We have a health question related and a political related, Trump related. Which one would you rather have?
Let's take the health question first.
Okay. It's Miriam from Brooklyn. She says 2 weeks ago, her 16-year-old daughter had a sleepover, and 2 days later, they had bed bugs. She doesn't know how to treat it. She doesn't want to spray deadly chemicals that will get into her clothes. What would you suggest, please? Do you have any natural remedies?
I do. I would suggest not using any chemicals at all, because those pesticides, and that's what they really are, they're pesticides that can be deadly. Also, pesticides are notorious for not killing off the eggs, the larvae. So you might get the adults, yes, but then you're going to be breathing in those chemicals that are saturated into your mattress pad, or your linens. You can't just go and wash them out. Better still, if you should have any form of vermin or bed bugs, mites, fleas, heat. When you heat anything above 116 degrees, you're going to kill all bed bugs. Not just the adults, you'll kill the larvae and you'll kill the eggs. They're very heat sensitive. There are companies that don't charge a lot. I believe it's somewhere between $150 to $250. They're in and out in the same day. There is no bacteria. There's no residual. There's no chemicals at all. They get rid of everything. And they have ways of going in and isolating what's going to be sprayed and then or heated, and then they heat it up to between 113 and 116 degrees, and that kills them. So it's inexpensive, natural, non-toxic, and it's like 100% foolproof. That's what I would recommend.
Okay.
Or you can get some magnifying glass and tweezers and try to catch them.
Would do that, I think. You know,
yeah, it's very challenging when they go up someone's nose and you're going up their nose with tweezers to pull it out. Now, what's your political question?
Okay, this comes it's anonymous, actually. It's just their email address. Please tell us in detail what makes Trump the worst president in U.S. history. He did stop the TPP. Alex Jones seems to idolize Trump and compares him to George Washington.
Ooh, Alex Jones. Yeah. There's a very calm, meditative person. We should send Alex Jones some of the Dalai Lama meditation tapes and let him play for his raw meat audience down in Texas. First of all, I would not say by any measure that Trump is the worst president in history. He may be in time. But the worst president, without question, was Barack Obama on many different levels. What he did in Libya alone is just horrific, and it's genocidal. He and Hillary Clinton should be tried against the charges by the International Court on Human Rights. George Bush and Dick Cheney, they were co-presidents. they also would be right there because they're false information getting us into Iraq. And I was thinking about this morning when I was doing a run. Now that we know that the FBI and the Justice Department, at least at its administrative policymaking division, are deep state affiliated individuals. They have their own secret society. That just came out this week. The FBI has a secret society. How do we know that the information that was used to get us into Iraq was not planted disinformation by the deep state, realizing the trillions of dollars collectively, both in the causing the war and then repairing and rebuilding like a Marshall Plan, were not in their initial intents? How do we know that going into Libya and Syria and all over Africa is not for the same reason, because you have hundreds of military-industrial contractors spread throughout the United States with hundreds of thousands of employees and very powerful political base, and they only have work if there is a threat of war, a real war, and therefore they lobby the politicians, they support their political campaigns. In return, the politicians have them on Capitol Hill proclaiming that we are in a threatened position. And yet, if you look carefully and methodically and honestly at what they're actually creating and building, most of it is redundant, like the F-35, we're at $1.3 trillion, and they're complete junk. The planes don't even work. But boy, you make a lot of money for the corporations. Lockheed Martin, Boeing, these companies make fortunes. And we have to pay for all their mistakes. They don't pay for any of it. If they go over by 100% in their budget, we pay for it. But we're not benefiting from any of this stuff. So think about that. What if these were false flags and the people in power actually believed the intelligence? Up to this point, all of us in the progressive movement, or most of us, believe that they knew that Saddam did not have weapons of mass destruction. That all happened out of Dick Cheney's office. But how do we know that there were not people behind Dick Cheney saying, we need this, Halliburton needs it, all these other military industrial contractors need it? That would be an interesting investigation. Now, what I would oppose Trump on is, first, his psychological behavior. He has zero charm. He's obsessive, compulsive in his reactions to everything. He's a pathological liar. He lacks empathy and any understanding of life under repressive regimes. I'd like to see his whole family spend their holidays trying to find a place to golf in El Salvador. He is imbued with racism, sexism, anti-Muslim, anti-Latino imagery. He completely distorts the views of the world and the community of nations. He has no understanding, nor does his imbecilic family, of American history, or any kind of history for that matter. And he tipped the Supreme Court to the radical right. His immigration policies have been more true to his promises, but even worse, deportations and a complete disregard for human rights has been seen. He's gutted public education, promoting charter schools by people from evangelical right wing that shift money from public to private. He has been for censoring the internet. All of his rhetoric on fake news is partially true, but then he uses Fox and Alec Jones, who you just mentioned, and Breitbart as his experts. In fact, the former head of Breitbart was his major consultant on all issues until he turned against him. He's one of these people who believes in radical deregulations, and Trump care is far worse than anything we've seen. His tax bill is an absurd notion because it gives money to corporations that weren't paying taxes to begin with. Instead of a flat tax that brought money into the Treasury to pay for infrastructure and one single unified public health program, universal health care. He increases the defense budget, but doesn't take a look at what they're actually spending money on to see the waste and duplication. He increased our nuclear armaments. He was belligerent and non-political and non-diplomatic in his standoff with North Korea. He wanted to renege on the Iranian deal. He wanted to create special ops around the world, especially in Africa. He's increased drone strikes and hence civilian deaths even more than Obama so far. He has this really warped relationship, as did Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, with Saudi Arabia. Not once have you heard him say, hey, what are you doing beheading people, throwing gays off building, giving women no rights? You know, to him, none of this is relevant. He is a climate change denialist. I mean, just textbook out of the religious right wing. He wants to drill offshore on all U.S. coasts except one now he can in Florida. He's wasted tax dollars on resurrecting the coal industry. And he has new tariffs on solar panels, which is just the opposite of what we need, because that's green energy and renewable. He's opening up public lands and natural parks to private interest. His rhetoric to make opponents, even environmental opponents, as potential terrorists and enemies of the state so they can be stopped, harassed, or even arrested. He is a pet of Netanyahu. He supports Jerusalem as the capital and moving the U.S. embassy there. Boy, is that a stupid idea, as is the wall. And further criminalizing marijuana. He doesn't even want states to allow to be legalized, yet it's a state issue. He also allows states to legalize only what he wants them to. He does not believe in legalizing drugs, though he said he would when he was running. He said he would legalize marijuana. He lied. He said he was committing to create millions of new jobs and energy. That can only be done if you have renewable. So, and also the tax reduction to include child care expenses and elderly dependents, and also to expand the earned income tax credit to low-income households. He promised all this. It's just the opposite. He promised 6 weeks paid leave to new mothers. Didn't happen. He promised to increase funding for job training and educational support and business and loans to small business people. Hasn't happened. He said he was going to, you know, tear up NAFTA and start from scratch. Hasn't happened. So look at what he promised to create a separate Secretary of Veterans Affairs. Didn't happen. Normalize relations with Russia. Posturing. Promised a full audit of the Pentagon. So everything he promised, he's 99% of it he's reneged on, and what he has done, he's done as if, and then asked, what do I have to do to get through this? And then the only people could answer him were the people who were the swamp monsters who live in that cesspool called Washington, D.C. So those are just some of the reasons that I believe that he will be one of the worst presidents in history, but not yet has been able to get that gold ring. Obama has it. And Bush is holding on to Obama's pant leg. Okay?
Thank you. That's great. Thank you.
All right. Now, we're going to finish up our program today by hearing a short clip. And this short clip is really scary. This just happened yesterday. This is from the Young Turks. And this is about how Congress just handed Donald Trump his own private secret army. Wow. You're kidding. No, I'm not kidding. And no one's talking about it. It's not in the news. But here it is for you. Please listen.
So this story is disastrous. In the midst of the budget negotiations, they snuck something into that resolution that is potentially horrific and undermines our democracy. So The Intercept, with a great report from Alex Emmons and Ryan Grimm on this, they explain this provision, the provision first reported by The Intercept, appeared in the House version of the spending bill last week and modified the 70-year-old law that first chartered the CIA. It removed language that required intelligence agencies to spend money according to Congress's instructions and replaced it with a provision that allows the agencies to move money around freely and without Congress's knowledge. Oh boy, you understand that? They just passed into law that the CIA and the intelligence agencies don't have to check with Congress. Now they can move money around. Oh, you know, cut off funding for what? That doesn't matter. I can move it around to a project. You authorized it, didn't authorize it. Who cares? Rule of law, who cares? Three branches of government, who cares? No, now the intelligence agencies can do any covert operation they like or perhaps build private armies. Yes, that is part of what they're going for here. And it is public. They've admitted it. I'll share it with you in a second. So, by the way, I thought the Republicans were against the deep state. That creates a worse deep state than we've ever had. Okay, so Blackwater founder Eric Prince has recently pitched the administration on a private intelligence force that would report directly to President Donald Trump and CIA Director Mike Pompeo. Well, that's exactly how fascism goes. The fascists go outside of the rule of law, outside of democracy, and outside of the normal branches of government, and they become unaccountable except to the executive, who then has his own private army that he uses for God knows what and crushes his opposition. So that planning has not only begun, Eric Prince bragged about it in an op-ed earlier, now it's been passed into law. Okay, the intelligence community in its latest grasp has gone too far for even Richard Burr, The Intercept explains. Richard Burr is a deeply Republican conservative from North Carolina. He said the Republican chair of the Senate Intelligence Committee has long been one of the Senate's staunchest advocates for the intelligence agencies, leading to fight to reauthorize surveillance programs and fighting to bury the results of the Senate's five-year investigation into CIA torture. But he took to the Senate floor Monday to warn that it would compromise Congress's ability to oversee secret intelligence programs. And they didn't listen to him. Here's a guy who loves the intelligence community, who gave him carte blanche over and over again, who said, oh, torture, what's the big deal? I'll let you cover it up. But even he is going, whoa, this means they're totally unaccountable. They never even have to come back to Congress. And God knows what they can do with that private army and the private CIA that they're now forming. Burr said, quote, effectively, the intelligence community could expend funds as it sees fit without an authorization bill in place. Warning, 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 not heeded. They kept it in the bill and it passed.
Well, we're out of time. I just want to let you know what's happening. Most people don't care. Many other people say, well, what can I do? You know, I can't do anything. I'm just one person. But first become aware of how bad it is. And therefore, we'll come up on new shows talking about what we the people can do to push back against this massive overstepping of anything that's considered legitimate in the way of governance. I'm Gary Noll. I want to thank you all for listening. I look forward to sharing more tomorrow. Have a nice day, everyone.